And I wake in the morning. And I step outside.
And I take a deep breath and I get real high.
And I scream the top of my lungs.
What's going on?
What's going on?
It's the OTH to the OTA. 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 It's the old-timey hedgehog. Old-timey hedgehog. Old-timey hedgehog. Old-timey hedgehog. Old-timey hedgehog, old-timey, old-timey hedgehog, old-timey, old-timey hedgehog, old-timey, old-timey hedgehog, old-timey, OTH to the OTA, it's the OTH to the OTA, it's the OTH to the OTA, it's the OTH to the OTA. 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 Old timey hedgehog on the air.
All right.
Yeah.
That was different.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Next time, Matt will sing and I'll do the beady boxies.
Yeah. Wait. Well, or some sort of beat.
Definitely a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
All right, so...
what is it? Get skibbity bit 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 bit. I don't know what that was.
We've been listening to feedback.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
For real. Uh-huh. Not just like... but like feedback from people.
Yeah. And we have a letter.
Yeah. Holy crap. Wait, no, this is a monumental moment right here. A momentual monument. Never mind. Point is we actually have a letter. Mm-hmm. We have an email, an official, not just a hey message while we happen to be talking with people, but a real honest to gosh email.
Do you want to read it or shall I?
I don't know. Should we, like, switch off somehow? This is pretty important. I don't know. Of course, it is pretty short, too.
Yeah.
All right, I have an idea.
Okay.
I'll give a little intro, and then you read the actual meat, if you will.
Okay, sure.
Since I'm a vegetarian.
I get that.
That was terrible. Why do you let me say things? On July the 24th. 2013, an email was received from one Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, because you don't want to...
Yeah.
Wait, that was obviously Peter Parker.
Well, his name isn't Peter Parker, so there we go.
Okay.
All right, cool. Some dude named Pete sent us an email.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. And I love the new racist dude. Hilarity! Cheers. P.
Racist was in quotes, and he was referring to Kelvin Ortega from episode 6.
For his accurate portrayal of himself.
Yes. Yes, his uncomfortably accurate portrayal of himself. By the way, we're on episode 8 now.
Yes, we are. It is episode 8. We have broken away for the number of magazines, which means we now have an empire.
That's right.
Over...
yeah,
over the magazine.
Now we can do what we want.
Yeah,
we could throw out the CEO.
We're not in the. Yeah,
we could bring in Kelvin as the. Oh God! Oh no! Oh God! Never let me say that again.
Okay.
Whew. That was a close one.
Yeah, you almost said.
If I had said it a third time, he would have appeared like Beetlejuice.
Uh huh.
Right.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, P, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, I had feelings about the new racist in quotes dude too.
Yep.
Never again.
So wait, should that be our thing now? Should every episode we bring in a new, in quotes, racist dude?
I don't know that that's such a good idea.
Huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if we brought in a new Guatemalan every time.
Okay. I only know one Guatemalan, though.
Yeah, me too. I think we've referenced him every episode.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to blow my Guatemalan load in just one episode.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, there's always the time to break the Guatemalan cherry.
That's true.
The state cherry of Guatemala.
If we're lucky, we'll get there.
The state cherry of the country, Guatemala.
The state cherry of the country of Guatemala.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, sure, fine. We'll all break right. The state cherry of the country of Guatemala.
Okay, so obviously from this bit of feedback, what I've gathered is you guys want more bits.
It's the only way
and,
to interpret that, apparently.
Which I assume you as the viewers did not mean genitals. You meant pieces or ideas that aren't just the two of us talking about whatever flies into our mind.
Yeah, like, you know, segments.
Segways.
Thawed out ideas.
Sega Master System
I was just going to say Sega Master System.
Master System? You were going to go Genesis?
Just Sega Master System, yeah.
Not to be confused with the Nomad or the Game Gear.
Neo Geo.
And it's 30 minutes of battery life.
What was that? TurboGrafx-16.
Was that that wasn't a Sega though.
No. I'm just naming ones now. Oh, I also said Neo Geo.
That's fair.
Naming oddball ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like my good old Texas Instruments that I couldn't find anywhere.
I just had a graphing calculator that I could play Tetris on.
I did not have that. I had a graphing calculator once. Once.
And then it slapped you?
yeah. And I just couldn't look at it after that. Things weren't the same.
I get that. Hey.
I'll always miss you, graphic calculator.
Nice. So,
yeah. Speaking of bits and things, this isn't so much a bit, but in the name of the normal back and forth talk, I mean, we should cover at least a couple things, because at least one of these things happened together, and it's themed for previous issue.
I was going to say, for our longtime listeners of the show, those subscribed to our RSS feed, you may remember in the previous episode, which had a title I don't remember.
Yeah, me either. I think it was our recovery episode, whatever it was called.
Yeah. Oh, it was like the aftermath. Okay. we talked about the possibility, in fact, the probability of Matt Gallo joining myself, Tucker Dyer, for the trip to see Virginia, you know, meet Virginia. Yeah.
Where she was, she'd be the queen, and I think about my
spleen
life. I don't know.
Got something down.
All right. That wasn't weird and tenuous, not actually anticipated to be said. Well, that doesn't matter. Okay. So he came with me, and we met with Sarah while down there.
It's true.
To see my mom's play. She runs a children's theater. First week in August, they performed the show Aida. By Elton John.
And Tim Rice. I had never actually seen Aida before.
Oh, it's pretty much like that, only done by older people who are professionally paid.
I will say, it was not without flaws, but compared to the majority of community youth theater I've seen before, definitely noticeable steps above.
Oh, yeah, no, she's had 20 years of experience. This was her 20th year. Yeah.
Like the father of, you know, the Egyptian king guy, his little like half jazz hands, half maniacal finger wave.
Well,
I don't understand that choice so much.
Yeah, but you know, the choices are generally made at that young age. I made so many weird body choices when I was like in theater back then. Like, yeah. Also, props to so many of the exiting senior class of this show for going to like Yale and shit, like
real schools and fanciness.
They're super going to cool schools, like I have.
It's good. Do you build them up after I tear them down? I only tore one down. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, children between the age of 11 and a random 22-year-old
who listens to the podcast,
because all of you will listen to this, and you're all waiting to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I will mention none of you specifically.
I will say, my music partner, after he moved to California, has a podcast. There's no RSS feed, so I don't get a chance to listen to it, but I listened to one episode, and he mentioned my name, and I felt all tingly. So, yes. Jesse Henderson, one's for you. Right back at you, buddy.
Jesse
You're
Henderson.
Also pretty cool.
That's mentions from both of us now, so maybe Jesse Henderson, if you could get around to mentioning Matt Gallo. Just saying. Make this a proper feud. Family feud.
Yeah.
Wait, none of us are family.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
so how was that? Did you enjoy the trip, though?
Yeah. I mean, it was odd. I got very little sleep. Like, normally we get there a little earlier, just a little.
Yeah.
And don't leave as early.
That's also true. It's kind of like a flash in the pan.
Mostly just felt like the one day. But I still enjoyed it. It was nice to go down there.
Buses are becoming more expensive in a way that I don't really like.
Yeah. And we didn't shoot any guns this time. That was different than the last two times I went.
Well, yeah. You know, it's the South. That's what we do. But
yeah. And of course, as you said, we met Sarah, mm-hmm. there, your wife.
Yeah,
Sarah McDaniel Dyer. In case you forgot again,
that's true. And we had a good time. We ate food. We went to an IHOP, which apparently means nothing for Matt Gallo anymore.
Yeah. They just don't like. Everything must be pre-made because they won't let you change anything. They actually have a kids menu that they won't let you order from if you're not 12 or under.
The
love is gone.
Well, wait, the kids menu blah, thing. Blah, have you blah, tried that blah, before, blah, or is this blah, the first time?
Blah, 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 blah.
No, but the kids
menu. Hey, the fans of Muppet Christmas Carol will appreciate that moment.
I get that.
I don't know if I've tried it before.
Okay, because he walked away, but I think it's just because he didn't give...
It seemed to
a
me
a single shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, they were rude about it, but I feel like it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And it actually did say on the menu, 12 and under.
Okay.
In any case, I figured at that point that between that and him walking away and the fact that I know that they won't let you like change other things, they won't let you like get this item without bacon in it or this other thing without this, like...
Well, to be fair, the bacon temptation omelet, removing the bacon from it is a little weird.
I don't get omelets. Never mind. All right. So, before we move on to any of our lovely little bits and so forth, we should, talk about our magazine.
We did a travel issue, as mentioned. This was
it's true. Travel issue. And vacation and summary stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I was a little bit late on absolutely everything. amazingly so, actually. But I still managed to get it in on time and in order. And apparently people laughed, which is fine, because I wasn't sure if it was going to be funny.
On time is a... Well,
no, before yes. Like on time in the strictest definition.
So that it would
still
actually get printed.
Yes, it was able to be edited, and everything was, it's fine.
It's fine. Sorry, last 5 years.
That's fine. So, Matt.
For our last 5 years, fans. Oh.
I know that you did a comparison of Tiny Toon Adventures.
Yes.
How I Spent My Summer Vacation. Otherwise known as Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Summer Vacation. Or is it How I Spent My Vacation?
Yeah, it's just How I Spent My Vacation.
Well, I noticed originally when we had the articles, like, number of different ways that people called that title between your article and Sarah's article were three. And
it's Tiny Toons, How I Spent My Vacation, and The Chipmunk Adventure.
Yes, which I only has one known version.
Yeah. Mentioned these last time, and I'm just going to further clarify what I made pretty clear last time briefly, which is that The Chipmunk Adventure is just fucking horrible.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't hold up at all watching it as an adult. And matter of fact, it anti holds so hard that you think, I can't believe there was a time when I was like actually excited to watch this.
Was there a time when you were actually excited to watch this?
There was a brief time when I was like, yeah, Chipmunks. I was very little. What was wrong with me?
I don't know. People really like high-pitched
voices.
Dear Lord,
it's pitched up voices over songs that I've maybe heard before. It's just annoying.
Oh, wait a minute.
It was not good.
But you...
But it's not just that. It's just... It was a ludicrous, you know, setup for it.
Wait,
which
Ludacris
is fine.
Was in it?
No. God damn it. We're going to race around the world. Woo! I got nothing. I don't have a Ludacris impersonation, so I have to stop right there.
So Ludacris was played by DMX in this?
I also don't have a Chipmunk impersonation, which is why I had to just go, yeah.
Well,
because, you know, that sounds like them.
I do have a vocal pitch shifter, but let's not play with that today.
Yeah. In any case, it had like basically no redeeming value at all. It mm-hmm. was painful to sit through. The songs were god-awful. You would do yourself a favor to never watch it again, and you would do further generations a favor to never let it be seen by anyone by destroying every copy you see.
Awful. What about my copy of Chipmunk Punk?
Well, I mean, that's like briefly worth it for the joke novelty, but that is like shortly after you start listening to it is also infuriating.
Well, because
also, the fact that they don't have a single punk song on
it. The closest that they have on that album is My Sharona.
Yeah, seriously. It was, by the way, not a punk song, but that is actually by far the closest to a punk song that's on the album.
It did, however, raise the new generation's awareness in the Chipmunks, which led directly to the 1980s cartoon show.
I see. Terrible. Just mm-hmm. terrible.
Yep.
So thanks, Chipmunk Punk, for ruining things.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Tiny Toons, How I Spent My Vacation.
Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Vacation.
God damn it.
Colon.
Stop it now. That actually holds up very well. I mean, you're gonna run into bits that are like, you know, you're grown through a little bit because it's like, you know, it was still aimed at younger audiences, of course. But just like classic Looney Tunes, you know, which I think I mentioned last time, it has that ability to not only include stuff that's like references only adults would get if they were watching with kids or whatever, but and that you can appreciate more when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, they embrace like, you know, chaos and anarchy. They embrace like, you know, sort of, I don't know, humor that's willing to let you think outside the box. I can't get the words I want.
It does a decent amount of like meta commentary without being a POMO cartoon or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's exactly. They should be willing to do that more with children's programming.
Agreed.
Because it's good. Being able to understand and grasp, what's that word I want? Concepts.
Thematic.
No.
Diegesic.
No.
Mise en scène.
This is killing my brain. Why can't I remember the word I'm thinking of? Never mind. Forget I said
montage editing.
No, not montage editing. Christ's sake. Battleship Potemkin should be shown to all children. No.
And now Tiny Toon Adventures presents Vertov's The Man with the Movie Camera.
No. I wish I could remember what I was trying to say, but I can't. So.
That episode where music videos?
No, I was not trying to say that episode where it was music videos.
The really good bit in that movie in which there was a serial killer.
Please. No, but that was a good bit.
It's one of the things I remember, so it has to have been a highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's worth it. Watch it again. It's fun. Holds up pretty well, all things considered, and kills the Chipmunks in its value of holding up and of enjoyment as an adult.
It's so much better than Ninja Turtles, How I Spent My Vacation.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's mostly just them continuing to be in the sewer because they don't go to school.
No, but actually there is like a weirdo half season or side season in which they randomly are off in like, I don't know, Europe or something. I don't understand these
things.
Is
that about the same time that the gargoyles were sailing all around the world?
It was not at the same time, but yes.
Through the mists of Avalon?
It's kind of that same idea, yeah. Anyway. So tell me about one of your articles in slightly more detail, but not nearly as lengthy as this.
Okay. So I did a review of Boards Canada's Tomorrow's Harvest.
Prove it.
Okay. If you go to Amazon
and buy
a copy
of
the Old Time or Old Hedgy Times Volume 7 and you flip to the music bit, you will see that I wrote a review of Boards of Canada's Tomorrow's Harvest. Now, as a spoiler, I liked it.
You can spoil it now. The episodes are... I mean, the magazine's already out.
Yeah, I guess the next couple of months, because it's been really... like, the world of electronic music has been really good to me, or more accurately, really good to me from 2007.
Yeah.
And the last thing that Boards of Canada put out, I want to say, was in 05. And or at least that was the last full length, the Campfire Head phase.
Yeah, that's quite some time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, you had a really funny bit in your article about that.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, people, go and read these things. We got good stuff on these things.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. But yeah, so after waiting a really long time for them, I'd say that like they kind of capture really good sound with everything. Music Has the Rights of Children was like their first one that
Abstract Thinking. That's what I couldn't get into my head before. Sorry.
Well, I understand. It's a big concept to wrap your head around, so...
but children's programming that helps form abstract thinking is a good thing, in my opinion.
I agree. That's what I really enjoyed about the Mr. Man show when that came out. If you haven't got a chance to see
I've
it
yet... I've never seen it.
Absolutely track down an episode or two. It was fantastic.
Okay.
So, yeah, Music Has the Rights of Children was their first main release, and that was very... well, it kind of captured that sound of nostalgia, just pure and distilled in a way that like hits people in their head brain. Because it has like all the signature sounds for them, kind of sounds like broken reel-to-reel projectors and things teaching you about your body or how a farm works. You remember those videos from like elementary school, yes. Even though it was the 90s for me. What?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But this new one.
Oh yeah, the new one. On the flip side, it's basically like the soundtrack to a desolate desert film. It still sounds cool and soul-searching and everything like that, but it's very, very... It's darker. It just feels darker. It's not like cheerful or anything like that. It's not wistful. It's just alone.
So it still has some elements of them, but it's very different style.
It's very much like... You could listen to any of their tracks and be like, different. This is the Boards of Canada song. But at the same time, between albums, there's enough of a difference in what they're doing, which I think is really cool. So my What the What this month... What was my What the What on?
Your What the What this time was on that book, Raw Shark Texts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So...
It's a good thing I have the whole magazine memorized.
Yeah, no, it's been a long day. so the Raw Shark Texts was the is actually my favorite book in the last decade. I think it's a really interesting piece of science fiction that, like, it's not as wrapped into itself as House of Leaves is, but it has certain elements of non-direct storytelling that House of Leaves does. House of Leaves, for people who don't know, is written by an insane person on... basically, it's designed to give layout editors a hemorrhage. Have you ever flipped through that book, Matt?
No.
I'll show it to you after the podcast just so you can flip through it. There's a lot of stuff that's just written backwards, and every utterance of the word house... is in highlighted in
house?
Blue. Oh. Yes.
That's random.
Yeah, and there's one section that's describing a expedition through a labyrinth that throughout the entire thing has just lists of footnotes that cause you to go backwards and forwards through the section, so you yourself have to travel through and like in and out this little labyrinthine thing while you're reading about a labyrinth.
I see.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. Goats and monkeys.
Goats and monkeys.
A reference to the...
Caspar.
Play.
Yes.
About Casperhausen.
The... Was that postmodern? Is that other one? Is it? It's like, yeah, it's like...
It's word torture. Was it word torture?
Modernist word torture or something like that. Play Caspar. Based on the... sort of based on the experiences of Caspar Hauser.
Mm-hmm.
look it up. Or don't.
Yeah.
That works too.
We don't give you homework. Except for that time we gave you homework and none of you passed.
Yeah. Resounding Fs all around. But you still get gold stars.
Y'all can do better. You get a gold star minus.
Says Cleveland. Y'all can do better.
So what else did you do, Matt?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I did the thing with the thing and the thing and the thing. I'm so helpful.
Did you forget the movies you reviewed?
No, I reviewed Pacific Rim and I reviewed... what was the other one? I can't remember the other one.
No?
Okay,
well, we may revisit it later.
Pacific Rim was big, blam, in your face, wickety wow.
I did hear it described by many people as wickety wow.
Yeah, character development, not there at all.
No.
Script, pretty crappy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he was aiming for a big visual feast that wasn't as brooding as other action flicks for the summer, and at the same time, he wanted to introduce a younger generation to these things, like the big mecha robot type things and kaiju.
I think the
not to be confused with Kaiju Big Battle.
Well, I mean,
but on the other hand, be referenced,
kaiju is just a term for it doesn't even mean giant monsters. It just means monsters. Mm-hmm. There's a different Japanese term for giant monsters.
Yar.
I feel that it's kind of in line with things like Hellboy and other Del Toro action films.
There's some elements that you could see in like Hellboy 2 and some other things. But like I could see people being like, oh, you know, disappointed because he has movies where he perfectly, you know, does a perfectly good job of handling like better, you know, focused sort of acting, character development, writing.
Are they in English?
Yeah, well, Pan's Labyrinth obviously isn't, but
right.
You know, there's even the first Hellboy's got a little more, even like
I guess, but like I found that there's something kind of charming in his English ones that like that I feel would probably include Pacific Rim. That's not necessarily that they're the strongest written ones, but there's still something that I don't think a person. Like I don't know. It is always
I don't know. All I know is I get people's complaints, but I still think it is worth it.
I definitely still want to see
it. It's just a big, crazy, interesting to look at, like you know, visual experience.
The concept makes me happy. So yay.
All right. So yeah.
All right. So that sounds. That's exactly how much time that we wanted to riff.
Sure.
All right. So. I guess let's see what are the podcasts doing these days? Okay, they're ripping from the headlines. Let's try some of that.
Yeah,
all right.
OTA brings you the news of the day.
Okay, all right. So what we're going to do here is we both decided to you know check the far reaches of the internet, read Gawker Network and Reddit.
The far reaches.
Yeah,
maybe some other things, but yeah, you know,
and see if there's other interesting elements that we want to respond. And we both did independent research.
That's right.
So that we can
right.
get people in
got
on
some
it.
Ideas, some articles, headlines, whatever you want.
All right. So I'll go first. All right.
Okay.
So
in the internet today.
All right. So according to Reddit's subreddit r TIL, which stands for Today I Learned.
Oh.
Today I learned that during the filming of Schindler's List, Robin Williams calls Spielberg every 2 weeks to cheer him up with jokes.
Oh, I had no idea, nor would I have ever guessed it. Do they imply that it honestly seems to be true?
Yes, it is. It is currently cited and linked to Wikipedia. Which is cross-referenced, according to this, with Susan Royal's An Interview with Steven Spielberg inside Film Magazine Online.
All right. That's all over the internet.
Yeah.
It must be true.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, you know, it seems random, but I guess when you're, you know, a important but also rich and powerful name in the world of movie making, and you need to be cheered up, you can call on your movie making friends and have them cheer you up. Mm-hmm. I hope you didn't get tired of hearing those same five voices that Robin Williams does. To be fair, I love Robin Williams, but I guarantee you he went into a number of those same impressions.
And I feel like this would have been important training for him right before doing Jacob the Liar.
Jacob the Liar.
It was a Robin Williams film in the Holocaust.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
Oh.
I didn't remember if I did know.
Okay. Well, I'll cut it.
Anyway.
All right, so what do you have?
All right, here we go. I'm going with this I got some Gawker. I'll start with that.
Okay. Right.
That's the internet.
Sure.
So, here we go. Let me throw this one at you. American tourist breaks finger off of 600-year-old Italian statue.
Okay. Was he performing statutory rape?
I hate you so
much. Let me try this again. Okay. Was he performing statutory rape?
Yeah, good job trying it again.
No, all right.
No, but seriously, it's like, what's the first rule at every museum everywhere at all, everywhere? Don't touch the art.
Yes.
Come on.
Normally there's a person stuffily telling you.
Yeah. Apparently some dude from Missouri couldn't help but break the damn finger off of a 600-year-old statue in this Italian museum.
Was he attempting to fix it to make it look better, like that painting of Jesus and the old woman?
So awful. So awful. I hope not.
Homo,
he was like, oh, there's, I can't remember what it's called either. There's all these terrible cracks. We're going to slap some plaster on this thing, fix it up.
Give it some spackle.
Wrap it up with some duct tape and oh, man.
Wait, so you're saying Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
In character, like... like a combination between Larry the Cable Guy and Don Knotts.
Why is everything Don Knotts with you?
Well, I feel if someone's going to trip. Yeah, he's just a clumsy.
There's way too many cracks in this finger. Ah, see, that's way too Family Guy Don Knotts. What are we doing here? Come on now.
All right.
Your turn.
All right. So I saw a description of a Serbian design for an anti-bear suit. which I have right here. Matt, could you describe this invention?
Is that really what that is?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a creepy mask that looks a little bit like the AI heads in the movie. iRobot.
Okay.
The iRobot heads in the iRobot. And an entire suit, like pants and jacket, that look like they're made of steel, and the mask also looks like it's made of steel, but every inch of the surface of this outfit, except for the belt, is covered in nails. It's like Pinhead times 4,000. It's ridiculous. I actually have a bracer a friend made for my arm back in my death metal days, that is covered in nails, and it's kind of like that, except the entire body over a suit and helmet with a face on it, that looks like it's entirely made of metal.
Like, he looks like he should be a bouncer for Slipknot.
Yeah, kind of. Except, you know, is Slipknot really in that much danger? Their fans?
Well, they're dealing with these changes.
No, that was Disturbed. Dealing with these changes! Ooh-ah! Anyway. New metal. Don't ever come back.
Okay.
All right. So let's see. Where's this next guy that I was going to throw at you? Here it is. just another headline. Just I want to see get your reaction
okay,
here.
Okay. Sure.
Florida's Hunger Games themed summer camp for kids is insane. Surprise.
Okay, so my first question is it a fat camp?
No.
All right.
It's just a camp that allows kids the chance to participate in real-life version of the Hunger Games.
So archery practice, cake decorating, bee dropping.
One gun.
I am shocked and appalled that it's obviously ripping off Battle Royale Camp.
imagine if someone made a camp Battle Royale and Battle Royale 2.
Oh, Lord. That would potentially happen. Ichi the Killer Camp. Let's just consider
yeah,
that for a
there
second.
We go. Let's just have a lovely Old Boy Trilogy Camp. Mm-hmm. How would you even do that?
Well, you get to eat a live squid at some point.
Oh, I see.
Or octopus.
As long as they don't make friggin' Human Centipede Camp, I'm okay.
No, but I again have the question, is that a fat camp?
Yes, that one is. Okay, let's please stop now.
Okay, so hilarious mistranslated English from other languages, otherwise known as a different word that is too insensitive for this podcast since Kelvin's not on. There is a warning that's on a wing of one of those little RC helicopters.
Yes.
All right. And the RC helicopter warns you, if blade damage, don't be fly. Otherwise, it will create the human body or blame damage.
God, that's brilliant. Translations.
As evidenced by this photo.
I can see it, and it's real. It really does say that. Oh, that's great.
I did not stutter.
Good times. This reminds me of, like, you know, classic video games with the terrible translations.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows the internet's biggest one, that all your base are belong to us. Like that sort of thing.
Yep, yep.
Dear Lord. A winner is you.
I love that one.
All right, so... I was gonna throw at least one more from good old Gawker here at you. So, oh yeah, here we go. Here's a funny one. Usher's son rushed to hospital after near drowning incident. That's not funny.
Aww.
Oh, poor kid. Oh, look at him. He's adorable. Aww. All right. How about this? Teen rapper records song about police standoff during police standoff.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay. That, like, I think Chris Brown is going to quit the music industry. That's, I heard about that. That's...
Oh, and apparently this young Colorado rapper, Colorado, which is where Reed Levin is.
Oh, I thought it was Reed Levin.
No, it's not Reed Levin. It's someone who goes by the stage name Adequate Advocate.
Okay, that's I can see that. That sounds like something a white rapper would have.
I don't know if he is. I can't tell from this picture.
Well, that'll teach me to judge.
As a backup, since those two things, you know, failed a little bit, I'm just going to show you this picture. I don't even care about the headline.
Sure.
Although the headline is Wiener slurs opponent as grandpa at AARP event to court seniors.
Huh.
Yep. Smart move. But the important thing is, look at this face. And if you're on Gawker at home, look up that article, because he looks like one frightening old bird woman.
Yeah, the thing that is colloquially known as bitch face amongst people who are like assholes.
Yeah, true.
Anthony Weiner definitely has like douchebag face pretty well down without it being that. Yeah.
And also looks like a bird.
Yeah, I don't hate him nearly as much as a lot of other people hate him.
Oh, yeah,
I just don't think
either.
He's very good at anything.
Yeah, I just don't care.
I like the bit where he seems to be good at not taking shit from people, but
yeah,
he should be a less shitty politician.
Yeah, yeah. See,
that'd be great.
Like, I don't mind,
like,
all the crap that people
I wanted
are like,
to like
I'm
him until
up in arms
yeah.
about, but. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm also not impressed by him at all. I'm just like, hey, it's a guy.
And I know a lot of you who aren't in New York might be thinking, why should you give a shit? And the answer is you shouldn't. But
yeah,
we live here,
true.
So
yeah,
we had to deal with this.
All right.
Vote Ron Paul.
Your turn.
Oh, okay.
You got something else?
Well, it's more. I guess it's kind of a different bit than this because, like, there is a listing that just kind of collects 1-star reviews of books that deserve more than 1 star from people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, and I think this is the truest to Matt Gallo's heart. There's a review for The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien in 1954 that goes as follows. 1 star. The book is not readable because of the overuse of adverbs.
Well, there's an informed opinion.
Yep.
It just, you know, people always gotta go for the real obvious argument. I'm just so tired of people tearing down Tolkien because of the overuse of adverbs. Wait, what? Really?
Yep.
Terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Ken Kesey, 1962. I guess if you're interested in crazy people, this is the book for you. 1 star. Yeah.
I can't. This just... You know, it's opening my eyes is what it's doing.
Oh, I enjoy this one. William Burroughs' Naked Lunch. I'm a Steely Dan fan, so naturally I wanted to read the book they thought compelling enough to name their band after an element of.
And that's why they gave it 1 star.
Yes.
Because they were disappointed.
They didn't even say that.
They... because Steely Dan was so awful as to have their name inspired by something that this guy hates reading, but he had to because Steely Dan took a part of something inspired by part of that book.
Yeah, I guess like the only other thing is Lord of the Flies. There's one of Lord of the Flies. This is totally becoming like a weird...
A lot of Lord of the in here.
Yeah, this is very much becoming like a Jimmy Fallon thing right now, just reading the internet for the joke itself. But I'm obsessed with Survivor, so I thought it would be fun. Wrong! 3 exclamation points. It is incredibly boring and disgusting. I was very much disturbed when I found young children killing each other. I think that anyone with a conscience would agree with
me. Dear Lord, did you actually read Lord of the Flies?
Because of Survivor.
Like, a classic piece of literature with the point behind it has nothing to do with, hey, let's show how people survive in completely unrealistic environments and situation while calling it nature. Like, I don't... How... Didn't he read the back cover of the book? Hadn't he ever heard of Lord of the Flies before Survivor? Why, internet? Why? So, speaking of the internet, running out of ideas, I've gone on to Twitter.
Okay.
Let me tell you, 80s Don Draper.
Oh, I love 80s Don Draper.
Off to a good start, then.
Yeah.
Says, our lives are so busy and complicated now. We don't have time for keyboards and guitars to be separate instruments.
It's fantastic. They're, good. Of course, referring to the illustrious...
Keytar?
No, the guitar board.
God damn it, Tucker.
You know, lap steel. The the resurgence of guitar strings that you can put on your lap.
Yes. Clearly that's what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. June Carter, famous for her work with the lap steel. 80s Don Draper would recognize that.
Let's see here. Okay, this one's just random.
Okay.
This one's just someone that I happen to be friends with on
Twitter. So, horse ebooks?
So, according to this guy I know, he's a good guy, I like him. But according to him, here's hoping George W. Bush makes a speedy recovery, if only because Republicans will eventually blame Obama for his being hospitalized. What do you think? True or false?
He was in the hospital?
I didn't know either. Mm. The news. We don't need that. We could just read some sparse headlines on the internets.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too. I don't like people being hurt.
Even if
hey,
they were
my mom
douchebags.
Is in the hospital.
Oh. Well, your mom's not a douchebag.
No.
No, she's a nice lady.
But they can't. They it wasn't as bad as the last time, and they don't have to do surgery yet, which is good because if they had to do it, that would have mean you know going into it when they'd prefer not to, like emergency situations.
All right. Well, yeah, my thoughts are with her.
Oh, thank you, thank you, and she appreciates it too. I gotta throw at least one more at you. Here we go. Here we go. This other guy that I knew once, he says, and I quote, "What else can you tally, Mr. Tallyman?" Thoughts? I assume he means other than me banana. That is not a euphemism.
The number of limes in the coconuts?
Oh, that is a good, good answer. We shall have to bring that up with Mr. Tallyman.
Are you actually about to retweet or at that person so that you can answer the limes in the coconuts?
No. I don't have time for such things. What do I look like?
And now, Johnny.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's send it over to our Guatemalan correspondent, Johnny the Guatemalan.
Muchas gracias, señores y señorita. Ahí. Primero sí. Vamos a comenzar con los deportes, nerd. Vamos a comenzar con Quidditch. Primero, la gran batalla entre Gryffindor y Hufflepuff. ¿Quién ganó? ¿Quién creen ganó? Gryffindor, claro que sí.
Yeah, Gryffindor, yeah. I know he's saying Harry
Entonces,
Potter
Entonces, este sábado va a ser Gryffindor con el ganador de la batalla de mañana, Slytherin y Ravenclaw.
Oh.
Gracias por los sonidos, Lon. Usted también puede darme sonidos.
¡Gol!
Yes.
Snitch.
Y ahora, juguetes que quiero yo, que todos los nerds quieren también. Primero, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, surprise. A twist.
Sí, el Megazord. Muy grande. Oh, bien Megazord lujo. Grande. Very cool.
It's Morphin Tiempo.
But what?
Y para nuestros amigos japoneses son Super Sentai.
Sí.
Ah, Magalo está aprendiendo español. Muy bien.
Antes yo amaba, pero ahora no tengo un corazón.
Qué pelo tan extraño. Es rojo.
He's talking about my hair, I think.
Ajá. Okay. Bueno, eso es todo para mí, para ahorita. Entonces ahorita les regreso al programa de Tucker y Magalo.
Hey,
muchas gracias.
I know them.
De nada.
Thanks, Johnny.
Informative and elucidatory, as always.
Yeah. All right. And that was Johnny the Guatemalan. Finally, as everyone's been waiting for.
Not nearly as racist a Hispanic person as Calvin Ortega.
That's right. All right. Oh, while we wrap up our little news bit, if you'd call it that. I just want to check in with, you know, one of my favorite websites.
The recurring bit, Homestar Runner Watch. Yes, we are going to check live on the scene in the front of the Homestar Runner website.
That's right.
For any new changes in the area.
Oh, yeah. Although the hilarious updates with the whole gang, Homestar and Strong
Bad. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The King of Town. And
they are fantastic as they are frequent.
All right.
Okay. Homestar Runner check.
Okay, let's just type it in. Here we go. All right. And, last update, 12/22/2010.
All right. That means that they're right on schedule for updating any day now.
Yep.
We will give you more updates as things develop.
Oh, yes. Regularly as things develop.
Now, I will let you know, Matt, that aside from the website, Strong Bad made an appearance at Woodstock on the 13th or 17th or something of July.
Yeah.
So actually recently,
there is an update.
The first time in like 800 days.
Yeah.
There was an appearance that existed.
Yes.
They had previously existed as a puppet for an Aquabats concert.
Yep. This time they were single frames that occasionally moved on or off the screen while they introduced
Quill Wheaton.
It was a pretty good bit too, actually. You should go online and watch it.
Yeah, they talk about bloods and brown coats.
So that'll whet your appetite for the next time they do an update to homestarrunner.com.
Whet your appetite?
Whet your appetite.
Alright, nice.
So, before you head on out, you got anything else to say, Johnny the Guatemalan?
Tengo hambre?
What did he say? I don't have Kelvin here to give me a lie about what he said.
Hooray!
Hooray! Everyone celebrates Kelvin not being here. Wait.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Take that, Kelvin. All right.
I think it is now time for, I guess, the main show of our show and tell. Matt Gallo, I believe you have a performance for us.
Oh, that's true. If we were going to try and get things a bit more bit-oriented, as it were, I figured I've been looking for a venue, if you will, to do this, and there's a very foolish part of me. Didn't occur to me, oh, wait a minute, we have a podcast already.
Yes, it is important that you guys know that as a side project, Matt has been spending countless hours workshopping, in fact, a scene known as the ARRT.
That's right, art. Or Alan Rickman Radio Theater.
Oh my god, Alan Rickman has just entered into the room. Literally, in a way that a person could hold me for slander.
Cheap, cartoonish impersonation. I mean, actual Alan Rickman.
Matt, what are you doing? Alan Rickman's in the room. Get off the mic.
Get off of my microphone so that I may perform.
This is incredible.
I wish to begin. Nevertheless, please be quiet.
What are you going to perform?
I don't have time to talk to the little people. Alan Rickman Radio Theater, Episode 1, The Breakfast Club. Don't you ever talk about my friends. You don't know any of my friends. You don't look at any of my friends. And you certainly wouldn't condescend to speak to any of my friends. So you just stick to the things you know. Shopping, nail polish, your father's BMW, and your poor, rich, drunk mother in the Caribbean.
Shut up.
And as for being concerned about what's going to happen when you and I walk down the hallway of school together, you can forget about it, because it's never going to happen. Just bury your head in the sand and wait for your fucking prom.
I hate you.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
And just like that, Alan Rickman has disappeared. In a puff of self-importance.
So that was Alan Rickman Radio Theater, Episode 1. All right. Moving on.
That was excellent. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I hope that we get to do that again.
Yeah.
Sometime. Ever.
A little bird told me Alan Rickman's willing to come back every time.
Little known fact, Alan Rickman communicates exclusively through Carrier Hawk.
It's true.
Carrier Hawk.
And keep your eyes covered, because he not only does he not train it to avoid pecking eyes out, he trains it to peck eyes out.
Well, I think that's actually our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We're going to actually, I think we're going to start shutting it out a little earlier.
Yeah, I like this. I like this format, bits,
yeah, mm-hmm,
keeping
mm-hmm.
better time.
Yeah. What time is it?
It is now, not that this reflects anything when you're listening to it, but it's now 9:30.
All right, that's time well kept.
Yeah.
You kept it.
Not bad.
Well, you go, way to be the timekeeper.
All right. Matt All right. Gallo, timekeeper.
Yay.
Victorious again.
Yay.
Yay.
It's over.
Old Timey Hedgehog on the Air is an official production of Old Timey Hedgehog. We make nerdy books. For more information, please head to oldtimeyhedgehog.com. If you'd like to show your support, please contact us at hedgecast@oldtimeyhedgehog.com, rate us on iTunes, or you can purchase our monthly magazine on amazon.com. In fact, why not do all three? OTHOTA.
The one with sauce.